Welcome back to Family Reflections, the podcast where we dive into the depths of family dynamics, relationships, and everything in between. We're your hosts, Andrea
and Mark, and we're thrilled to be back for another episode.
Today, we're delving into a topic that's the cornerstone of every healthy relationship, communication. Whether it's with your partner or kids, communication is important.
We want to take you on a tour of our communication journey. From an awkward teen relationship to now being the parents of teens, communication can be complicated but is always worthwhile. Whether you're in your car, cleaning your house, or just relaxing, we've got stories, insights, and a great time ahead. So in a podcast about communication, Andrew and I really started talking about what does that mean? And it really reaffirms something that we both have always known about each other. We communicate in very different ways. I'm a very ad-lib person. I do not like to have a script in front of me. In fact, in high school, when I ran for class president, I had a script in front of me and I froze in front of the entire student body. I ended up having to rip the script in two just to be able to speak because the words on the page were freaking me out so much.
Whereas I was a communication major and I love outlines. I don't want like a script per se, but I need to have some bullet points to lead me in the right direction.
And even those bullet points can give me anxiety to the point where I can't read them.
I'm sorry. I'm remembering now as you're talking about it. I remember your senior class speech.
It was amazing.
I don't even remember what you were talking about. I just remember you ripping up your speech. Didn't you get in trouble for that?
Yeah, they actually brought me down to the office because they said that I was inciting a riot.
Okay. Wow. So even though we've learned that we have different communication styles, we always knew that we needed to communicate to be able to connect with each other. And the best way we have found to do that is to ask a lot of questions.
We even went so far to create a question game that we started playing around college on our drives home. And the rules of the game are really simple. You have to answer the question. It cannot be, I don't know. And once someone's asked the question, you have a little bit of a conversation. The other person then can ask any question they want. Nothing is off limits in the question game.
It can be super simple questions like, what's your favorite food or restaurant? Or what is your current favorite song? But then it would get into more complex things like, what kind of house do you want to live in?
Or what life goals do you have? How many kids do you want? It was a great way for us to really understand what the other person was thinking and where their goals were at that time.
And it was nice because even though we've played it since college and we've re-asked questions, and sometimes those questions are the answer is the same and sometimes it's different. So it's a great way for us to stay current with each other. And we now play it with our kids and we're able to stay up to date with what's going on with them too.
It's been like Andrea's had a lot of different musical tastes in the time that we've been together, from Christian rock to country to pop to,
Broadway.
Asking the question game has really helped me not only know what she likes, but actually learn the names of some of the artists that are playing music.
Which is saying a lot because you don't usually know who sings any songs.
No, I'm bad at that. Definitely bad at that.
So we've been playing this game for 20 years. And it's great because I feel like I learned so much about you. And it's not like we play it all the time. It's like whenever we feel like we need some time to fill in on each other's lives or we don't know what to do when we're in the car.
Well, and it's come in handy because we started it to make sure that we stayed in connection with another during college. But it's also been really helpful as we've had kids and life has got really hectic. You can't always go out on that date and have that hour-long, 2-hour, 3-hour-long conversation. So This allows us to have quick conversations in the car with one another, just to stay connected, know what's going on with one another, and know what they like, what they don't like, and maybe what some of their current goals are.
Right. Well, and as you're saying that, it's just made me realize like how much our communication has had to change through our different life circumstances. For example, I remember when our kids were really little, like our kids are less than 2 years apart, our oldest are. And I remember you would come home from work and I just needed somebody that could respond to me when I was talking. So you would come home and I would just talk and talk and talk. And you were teaching at the time. So you would come home from work and you were like, I don't want to talk anymore for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that was really hard because I'd spend the entire day talking to other people. And, you know, sometimes it was just presenting the lesson that I had done, but home was the point where it was like I was pretty much tapped out and I needed a few hours before I could start to re-engage. But you were really patient with me because I would sit down, we'd watch a show, or I'd usually load up a video game, and you just sit and you tell me about the day. And I was able to respond, and we would have conversations.
Yes, but you were really good at listening and reaffirming that, you know, I was doing good things by staying home with the kids and realizing that I had very little interaction with adults. So you were very patient with me too.
Well, I thought it was important to validate what you were doing, and doing that while playing a video game, I know can feel like it's not listening, but you know, you can do both. You can validate and do the video game. It might not be the best thing to do, but we were both giving each other what the other needed in that moment. And I think that's a really important part of communication, is recognizing that while I had a need, you also had a need, and we were trying to meet each other halfway.
Right. And I'm also remembering, like, when our kids were little, it was easy for us to talk about adult things when the kids were around. Now that we have teenagers, when we need to have an adult conversation, it's a little more difficult because, for one thing, they stay up much later. So we can't even wait until they go to bed to have those conversations.
And they can spell now.
Right. Even our youngest is 7, and it's gotten to the point where we can't even spell words because he knows what they mean.
So. Which really takes away a whole form of communication that we had developed of just spelling out, like, we need to talk about, like, if we want to go out for ice cream and we don't want everyone to get excited, we could always spell it out. Now it doesn't work.
Right. I remember when our kids were really little and they learned how to spell the word zoo. And so we couldn't even say, do you want to go to the Z-O-O?
That's right. And so we had to find other ways to try to talk to each other about the zoo. Now, Andrew's really good at knowing letters. And so I found that, like, if I'm sitting next to her, I can spell words out on her arm or her leg, and she'll know what I'm talking about.
That's partially because I spell letters on my leg all the time. It's like an auditory thing for me. When I hear a word, I spell it on my leg. So I've picked up on that I do it myself, so it's easy for me to understand what you're talking about.
But it's a great way to do, like, a secret language when we're trying to run an idea past one another. There's also, of course, like, just the general looks that we can give one another. You have a couple where I know that I need to be quiet or I've overstepped. And those are important, though, because they allow us to have conversations without necessarily – I mean, we've had entire arguments that were nonverbal in front of the kids, and they're looking at us like –
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. But we also have found other ways now that our kids are teens. We've found other ways to communicate throughout the day, even when you're at work. Our new thing is texting, even if it's like a GIF or some goofy little picture or something. It just helps me to know that you're thinking of me, or I want to make sure you know that I'm thinking about you.
And I know I appreciate it when, especially the psych gifts that you give, because it's such a great show that's totally relevant to everything that happens. So,
yes, this is not a plug for the show, but it is.
It is a good show. But we've also had to form communication, not just between you and I, but as the kids have gotten older and they have very distinct personalities, we've really needed to start thinking about different ways that we communicate with them.
Yes. Within the last year, we have started having what we call family meetings. I'm sure other people have them too, but ours are very specific. We have drawn up a contract that we have all signed. part of the main purpose of our first family meeting was to set up a specific family time for an hour during the week where no one has any technology. There's no phones, there's no watches, there's no computers, there's no television. We play a board game or go for a hike or
play kickball.
Yeah.
And we each get to choose what happens during family time on a rotating basis. So every 5 weeks, somebody gets to direct that hour of family time. But we've found that it's a really useful time. Now, sometimes we have to move it around.
Right.
Because, you know, life happens and not you can't just block out one time and say nothing will ever happen during this time. But that's when the family meetings come into play, when something does occur between our 2 to 3 o'clock time period, usually on Sundays. We do a family meeting to determine where that hour is going to go.
Right. So, like, you know, if our kid gets invited to a birthday party, which happened recently, the birthday party is the same time as our family time. So we have to have a family meeting to talk about when we are going to have our family time for the week. And we have rules for our family meetings. Like, you shouldn't interrupt people, which, you know, is a general rule. Just, right. But it's really particular during that meeting to make sure that everybody gets to voice their opinion. We also have made rules about conflict resolution, which I realized recently, like, we really need to re-examine, because some people, maybe all of us, have not really been following the rules that we've set up, such as, like, taking some time to calm down if you need it, using I feel statements, letting people talk without interruptions, which, you know, it can be really difficult when emotions are high. So we're trying to help our kids learn these skills so that they can carry them into their adult life. And people can call a family meeting for any reason. I mean, if they feel like there's some issue that really needs to be talked about, they can say, we need to have a family meeting. And that's what we do.
And having that open communication has really been helpful. Not only I feel like we've become closer as a family, I feel like the kids have become more open in what they're talking about with us, too. Where we used to get the stereotypical teenage I don't knows, or, you know, it was a day. Now we're getting a lot more information from them from our basic questions, because I think they know that we genuinely care.
Right. I feel like they feel like their voices can be heard, that they have a say in what happens in this house. And, you know, and we're not saying that everything they say goes. We just know that, well, I hope our kids are starting to realize that their voice is important too. Right. It might not be a deciding factor, but.
But we are listening to their input and we are considering it. And because we're able to hear why they want to do what they do, we can provide actual explanations for reasons why we don't want them to do those things.
Right. And I feel like, as you said, I feel like we've gotten a lot closer to our kids in just the last year since we've started having these meetings.
Yeah. So, like, our oldest right now is in a phase where they're getting a lot of friends to ask them to go out all the time. And she's in, like, 3 different friend groups, and they all like going to the movies and the skating rink and a lot of places that cost a lot of money. And we've been able to, through the family meetings, have some conversations about why sometimes we're going to have to say no, because we can't have her go out six times in 1 week, and each time costing like between $20 to $40.
Right. And it's a good lesson for kids, for them too, to learn about, you know, money and responsibilities. And so it's fun because we can teach our kids all kinds of lessons just during our family meetings, just subtly.
Right. No, one of the other ways that we use is family dinners. And people always talk about family dinners. And I think it's really interesting because sometimes people are like, well, if we all just sit together, then that's a family dinner. And we've found that we've done that. That's not always a family dinner. When we talk about family dinner, there's actual conversation that occurs. So there's some basic boilerplate questions that we ask. Usually we found that instead of saying what happened today, we try to focus our questions around emotions. What's something that made you excited today? What's something that made you sad? What's something that you were really happy about or surprised about? And this draws in a lot more conversation than a really broad question like, how was your day?
Right, which when you ask any teenager, if you say, how was your day? They'll say, it was okay. And they don't give a lot of details, whereas open-ended questions have really helped us. So we have family dinners most weeknights, unless somebody has a meeting or an extracurricular. But Monday through Friday, almost every night, we sit at the table together and have our meal. And then on the weekends, we're a little bit more low-key, where we sit in front of the TV and watch.
Usually psych.
Psych or movies or anime.
Yes.
Which is big in this house, except for me. but we just, you know, we're a little more lax on the weekends, which is fun.
It's okay.
But I love having family dinners. I grew up with family dinners, and I knew I always wanted to do that with my kids, and I'm glad that we have put that in place.
I've really enjoyed it, and I think it's been a great opportunity as we've gotten older and been able to have more conversations with them, that it does help us understand our kids and what they're looking for and what's going on in their lives a lot better. From our time passing notes in high school to our question game to our family meetings, I've loved reminiscing about our communication journey with you today, Andrea.
I have too. In fact, I kind of want to go play the question game now. But before we do that, we also want to communicate with you, our listeners. We now have a Facebook page. You can find us at Family Reflections. That's FAMLE Reflections. We would love to hear what communication styles and techniques work for your family. So share away. We can't wait to see you there, and see you next time.